This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all humanity. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to go astray, there is none to guide. أما بعد فقد تكلمنا في الخطبتين السابقتين عن رحمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالعالمين وعن خصائص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واليوم بمشيئة الله نختم هذه السلسلة المباركة بالحديث عن بعض الوصايا من خطبة الوداع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم So in the past two khutbas we spoke about the great qualities of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and that he came as a mercy to all of humanity and all of that exists and today inshallah we'll conclude this series by talking about some pieces of advice from the last sermon, the last khutbah the Prophet ﷺ gave. وَهَذِهِ الْخُطْبَةِ مَذْكُورَةٌ بِطُولِهَا فِي كُتُبِ السُّنَنِ كَصَحِيحِ مُسْلِمْ وَمُسْنَدِ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدِ وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم قد خرج من مكة في عام الهجرة ثانية اثنين ثالثهما الله خرج ليلا خائفا يترقب ثم راجع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعدها بعشر سنين لحجة الوداع وقال كتاب السير أن من حضر مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجة الوداع واستمع إلى خطبته 144,000 من المسلمين من استطاع الحضور فقط كثير من الناس لم يستطع الحضور والسفر So, the last khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ, which is the constitution for Muslims, can be found in several books of Sunnah, like Sahih Muslim and Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. We all know that the Prophet ﷺ, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he was by himself with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he left at night and he was afraid for his life. Then 10 years later, the Prophet ﷺ went back to Mecca for Hajj. And this is the only time he performed Hajj, by the way. And the number of people who made Hajj with him in that year, and those who listened to his khutbah, according to the books of Sir, 144,000 people. That was the number that listened to his khutbah. And you can see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do to you in 10 years. 10 years before, only two people traveling together, and now after 10 years, 144,000 people with you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, you shouldn't care who is against you. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is against you, you shouldn't be happy if Russia and China are with you. You should be afraid. وَبَدَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خُطْبَتَهُ بِالْحَدِيثِ إِلَى النَّاسِ جَمِيعًا فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالخطبة ما قال يا أيها المسلمون ولكن قال يا أيها الناس يا أيها الناس فكأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم يخاطب المسلمين وغير المسلمين فقال يا أيها الناس استمعوا إلي جيدا فلعلي لا ألقاكم بعد عامي هذا So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this lecture, in this talk, which is in a few minutes only, and this is his last khutbah, it's a wonderful khutbah, In Arabic, it's in one page. The Prophet ﷺ always says, O people, O mankind, listen to me. He was not talking only to Muslims, but to all people. He said, O people, listen to me attentively. Because I'm not sure if I will see you next year, or I will ever see you again. فَكَأَنَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَحَسَّ بِدُنُوِ أَجَلِهِ وَيَشْهَدْ لِذَلِكَ حَدِيثُ مُعَاذٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لما بعثه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى اليمن داعيا وقاضيا. ففي الحديث الذي رواه معاذ لما خرج معي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يودعني وكنت راكبا وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يودعني ماشيا، فقال يا معاذ إنك عسى ألا تلقاني بعد عامي هذا ولعلك تمر بقبري ومسجدي. فبكى معاذ رضي الله عنه لفراق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet ﷺ knew that he was going to die in a few months. This is supported by a hadith in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad when Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was leaving Medina to go to Yemen to make da'wah to them and to be a judge for them. Then the Prophet ﷺ went out with him and Mu'adh was on his camel or on his horse and the Prophet ﷺ was walking with him. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Mu'adh, maybe most likely you will not see me again. This is the last time you will see me. But maybe when you come back, you will pass by my grave and my masjid." So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu cried and cried because he felt sorry that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to die. فبدأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبته بالنصيحة لحرمة الدماء والأموال. فقال يا أيها الناس إن دماءكم وأموالكم عليكم حرام حتى تلقوا ربكم. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Oh people, listen to me attentively. Your blood and your money is sacred among you, so don't violate it until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." وَقَدْ تَكَلَّمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَثِيرًا عَنْ حُرْمَةِ الدِّمَاءِ وَالْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَعْرَاضِ فَقَالَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ فِي مُسْنَدِ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدَ لَمَّا نَظَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ وَقَالَ مَا أَعْظَمُكِ وَأَعْلَمُ حُرْمَتِكِ وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ دَبَ الْمُسْلِمِ وَعِرْضَهُ وَمَالَهُ أشد حرمة عند الله منك. فكأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن سفك دم مسلم واحد أو قتل مسلم واحد هو أعظم حرمة عند الله من هدم الكعبة. So the first wasiyah from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is to protect each other's money and blood and dignity. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in another hadith in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad that the blood, the money and the dignity of a Muslim is more sacred in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the Kaaba itself. Which means, if a Muslim is killed, this is worse than the destruction of the Kaaba. This is the meaning of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. انظر الآن سبحان الله. أرخص دم على وجه الأرض الآن هو دم المسلمين. أكثر ناس يموتون في العالم هم المسلمون. أكثر الناس تشتتا في العالم واللاجئين والمتشردين في العالم هم المسلمين. انظر على الخريطة وستعلم صدق ما أقول. أكثر الأيتام والأرامل في العالم اليوم هم المسلمين. فهذا ما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, if you look at our world today, if we don't follow the nasiha, the advice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, we will be losers and we will live in misery. The Muslim blood now is the cheapest blood in the world. There are more refugees, Muslim refugees, in the world than any other nation or any other religion. There are more Muslim orphans and widows than any other faith or any other country or nationality. Why? Because our blood is very cheap. And there are more Muslims who die today, they are killed by fellow Muslims, than the Muslims who are killed by non-Muslims. So the biggest problem for Islam today, believe it or not, are Muslims themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول في القرآن الكريم إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unjust to the people in the least, but the people are always unjust to themselves. ثم انتقل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحديث عن المساواة بين المسلمين. فقال يا أيها الناس إن أباكم واحد وإن ربكم واحد لا فضل عربي على أعجمي ولا أعجمي على عربي ولا لأحمر على أسود ولا أسود على أحمر إلا بالتقوى. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم talks about unity among humanity and the unity and the brotherhood of Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Listen, O people, your Lord is one. and your ancestry, your father and your mother are one. No Arab is superior to a non-Arab. And no Arab is superior to a non-Arab, and no non-Arab is superior to an Arab. No white is better or superior to a black, and no black is superior to a white, except on account of their righteousness and piety. وانظر إلى صحابة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكانوا يعني يتألفون من جنسيات مختلفة. عمر العربي وبلال الحبشي وسلمان الفارسي وصهيب الرومي وماريا المصرية كانوا من جنسيات مختلفة. وكان الجميع يتعاملون من منطلق حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في صحيح مسلم إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم وأموالكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. If you look at the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ, they were very diverse. Umar رضي الله عنه was an Arab. Bilal was a Habashi from Abyssinia. You have Suhaib al-Rumi, the Roman. You have Salman, the Persian. You have Mary, the Egyptian. They came from different places and they were all respected the same. ولكن انظر إلى المشاكل التي حلت بعالمنا المعاصر مثلا جراء العنصرية. Now look at the problems we have in our world today because we are not following the nasiha, the advice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Racism is plaguing the world. Look at the US for example in the 1930s and the 1940s. Blacks and whites, they couldn't eat together at the same restaurant. They couldn't go to school together. They couldn't take the same bus together. And that was because of some government laws. Go and Google Jim Crow. That was the law. Jim Crow, G-I-M-C-R-O-W. That was the law. The government practice. Some people at that time, they used to make fun of these laws and say, if you are white, you are right. If you are black, go back. If you are yellow, you are mellow. If you are brown, stick around. That was the belief at that time. وللأسف الشديد فإن العنصرية حتى موجودة في بلاد المسلمين. معروف إنك إذا ذهبت إلى بعض الدول لن أحدد أسماء الدول تجد الناس يحترمونك لمجرد لون بشرتك وبعض الناس يحترمك لمجرد الباسبور بتاعك. أما بخلاف ذلك ما فيش احترام. So in some Arab or Muslim countries, you will always get respect in some places, I'm not saying all of them, and this is a proof that we have racism in our countries because we don't follow the Prophet ﷺ. If you go to certain countries, you're not respected if you're black or dark skin, and if you go to certain countries because of your passport, you will not be respected. How many times you heard an advice from a friend? If you are going to a country, say for example in the Gulf States, Fil Khalij. So he tells you if you want to start a business there, if you are an Arab, or if you are from Somalia, or Habasha, or India, or Pakistan, don't go yourself to start the business. Because if you go, you will not get the business. Say someone who has blonde hair and blue eyes, and he will get the job innocently. If I'm wrong, you can correct me after the khutbah. But this happened and I've seen so many people and they said exactly the same thing. How do we expect to get respect from non-Muslims if we Muslims don't respect one another? It can't be. Because we are not following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. النصيحة الأخيرة ونختم بها اليوم حتى لا نطيل عليكم وصى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالنساء فقال يا أيها الناس استوصوا بالنساء خيرا. يا أيها الناس إن لنسائكم عليكم حقا ولكم عليهن حقا. Then the Prophet ﷺ talks about the rights of women. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, O mankind, treat women with respect and kindness. You have rights on your wives and your wives have rights on you. وتجد سبحان الله العظيم معظم المشاكل اللي تحصل في البلاد الإسلامية والطلاق اللي بيحصل وتكلمنا عن هذا كثيرا بسبب عدم اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فتجد يساء لبعض المسلمات في بعض الدول بدون ذكر أسماء. وطبعا هذه الإساءات بسبب الثقافات والعادات والتقاليد البالية التي ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان. وطبعا في الغرب ما يعرفوش الفرق بين الإسلام وبين التقاليد والعادات وكذا، يقول لك الإسلام يظلم النساء. So the third, and this is the last nasiha for today, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recommended or advised us to be generous and gentle and kind and good to women. If you look at the Muslim world today, some women are abused. There are 57 Muslim countries in the world. If women are abused in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of them, it doesn't mean that they are abused in all of them, just in some of them. The other thing is, these women are abused because of the local cultures and because of the traditions in these countries, not because of Islam. If my mother, for example, in Egypt, and this is true, couldn't get a share of inheritance from her parents, it is not because of Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa says, لِلْنِسَاءِ وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. So, in some countries, like in Egypt for example, my mother couldn't get a share of inheritance because of the local culture in the village, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that women should get a share of inheritance from their parents. But they don't. Eventually, at the end of the day, Islam gets the blame. Although Islam says, give them a share. In some countries, some women are not allowed to get a driver's license or drive their cars to go to their moms, the next street. It is not because of Islam, it's because of the local culture. The wives of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, they used to go here and there by themselves and nobody bothered them. But eventually, at the end of the day, Islam gets the blame. في بعض الدول الإسلامية المرأة لا تعطى حق التعلم فتعيش جاهلة وتموت جاهلة. هذا ليس بسبب الإسلام، فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم، يعني ذكر أو أنثى. In some countries women cannot get any kind of education, not even ABCs. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim male and female. And the scholars say what is meant here is the religious knowledge, how to pray, to know the right, between the right and the wrong, the halal and haram, to know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and follow his sunnah, and so on and so forth. But eventually Islam gets the blame. If a woman is forced into a marriage to a guy that she doesn't like, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a woman cannot be forced against her will to marry someone she doesn't like, eventually Islam gets the blame at the end of the day. And I'm going to conclude with this. It breaks my heart that in several examples, some sisters come to me and they say that I got married to someone a few years ago and he took off. I didn't know what took off meant. I Googled it. I found several synonyms for the word. So I realized that took off meant vanished, disappeared, vaporized, something of that nature. So the man has babies with a lady, they are married, then he moves to another country, she never hears from him, he never sends her money, he never calls his kids, he goes maybe and marries another lady, and now she stays like this. She's not married and she's not divorced. And this is haram. And because of all these problems I mentioned, and يذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه سيأتي على الناس زمان من الفتن والحديث في مسند الإمام أحمد. فيقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يمر الإنسان على القبر والفتن والمصائب والمشاكل وسفك الدماء موجودة، فينظر الإنسان إلى القبر ويقول ليتني كنت مكان حتى يستريح من المصائب. So because of all these problems I mentioned, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in an authentic hadith, a time will come, it will be a time of misery and bloodshed, that the person will pass by a grave and will look at the grave and say, I wish I were in your place and you were in mine. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. نسأل الله الفضل. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. ختم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبته بكلمة عظيمة فقال تركت فيكم ما إن تمسكتم به لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا كتاب الله وسنته وإنكم تسألون عني يوم القيامة فماذا أنتم قائلون قالوا نشهد أنك قد بلغت وأديت ونصحت فرفع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إصبعه إلى السماء سبابته وقال اللهم اشهد اللهم اشهد 3 مرات. ثم نزل قوله تعالى بعد هذه الخطبة: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. ثم ما لبث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعدها ب3 أشهر أن مات وانتقل إلى الرفيق الأعلى. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concluded his khutbah with these words: O people, I left 2 things for you. If you follow them, you will never go astray. The Quran and my sunnah. Follow them closely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about me on the day of judgment. So what will you say? They said, we bear witness that you conveyed the message and you have delivered the message in the best way. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the sky and said, O Allah, bear witness, O Allah, bear witness. Then a little bit over 3 months after this great khutbah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعلمنا ما ينفعنا وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا وأن يرزقنا اتباع حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واتباع سنته. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم الطف بإخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم كن لهم ولا تكن عليهم وكن لهم عونا ونصيرا. اللهم احقن دماء المسلمين ووحد على الحق كلمتهم واحفظ نساءهم وأطفالهم وأموالهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم عليك بمن ظلمهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم لا تخذل المسلمين يا رب. اللهم من أرادهم بخير فوفقه إلى كل خير ومن أرادهم بسوء فاجعل كيده في نحره. وارحم اللهم المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وأقم الصلاة.